is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, April 25th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we analyze the news. In the news, we understand that an MP was accused for sexual inappropriateness, right? I'm going to be vague, right, over this, right? It's a serious charge.
Intimate partner violence.
Yes, it was a serious charge, and the advocates for women's rights went hysterical. They got mad, they get vexed, and the reason why they got vexed, they said the response of the police force seems to be laxing, right? This is a delay, right? And in fact, I have an advocate, Aaron Green, here with me, right? And I want to understand the frustration. Why was the women's advocacy group and Bahamians in general so emotive that, hey, police officers, what y'all doing? Then there was coincidentally a case, an alleged assault of a woman on a cruise ship. And automatically that person was detained, right? Questions was asked. And then people were saying, how come the MP who's accused wasn't asked any questions? Why is this causing the delay? And then I remember on the break, Aaron Green, we were chatting on previous MPs who were accused of serious crimes, right? And how come deemed in the public? In contrast to this unnamed MP, right? And why his name wasn't called. And of course, we had a back and forth on what could have been the reasoning. So that's what I'm going to be prodding Aaron on today, trying to understand what exactly is happening, especially as an advocate speaking about women's rights and attack against women and abuse of women, especially in this climate, and then using the quote by the Prime Minister, by the Minister of National Security, by former MPs also, to understand whether we are breathing a rape culture, maybe unintentionally, but whether we are breeding a rape culture where women are unsafe in the Bahamas because of what we say or what we do. So, Aaron, you mentioned Westminster system.
Yeah.
About parliamentarians
doing
should
the honorable thing.
Honorable thing to resign, right? And I'm back and forth on the break. I mentioned that, but the MP was just accused. And I want to know your frustration on that, on why you think he may have should have been resigned. And then I would say, juxtapose, we had an MP who's charged any minute he goes to court. Surely there's a difference.
I think I called for him to resign as well, but I think the audience will note that my speech on his matter has been very measured as well in an attempt to not prejudice justice, right? Or not become a barrier or an obstacle to justice. And that's one of the biggest parts of an advocate's job, right? Speaking on behalf of someone or on behalf of a constituent, like a group of people. Some of those people may not even be alive yet, but you know that the potential for them to be born. So you advocating on their behalf. You may also be a part of the group that you advocating on behalf of, right? And so you advocate, but you are not necessarily advocating for yourself or yourself alone. Even when you're advocating on an issue that you're dealing with, you may not be the only person dealing with it, right? And so the job of an advocate is to advocate, but not to become an obstacle, right, in the gaining of whatever it is you're trying to achieve, or to become an obstacle in achieving justice.
The commissioner of police said he's a professional. The police know what they're doing. They're not going to be angst or prodded by social media to respond quickly. They are measured in terms of why this thing takes time, mm-hmm. right? That certain, you mentioned dotting T's crossing T's and dotting I's. So yeah. Something, these things must be done. But as an advocate, as a woman, and that's going to be suggestive and say, as a woman with women genitalia, do you feel safe in this environment, the Bahamas? And call for an immediate response, a scene response by advocates and the Commissioner of Police said, but we're just working on your time. If women does not feel safe, is that the urgency why they're prodding and say, hey, Commissioner, I hear you saying that you need to take time, but I don't feel safe.
But let's not attach that to this particular case, right?
But scenario, not this particular case.
But that this has arisen now, you know, women will say, look here, maybe we already weren't feeling safe,
mm-hmm.
right? This is nothing new. We are already acutely aware of the risks that we take going into public by ourselves, attempting to live the lives that we want to live, right? So women have already felt unsafe. And I think a part of it is that there have been some very positive moves in recent times. There's been the creation of a sexual offenses unit. Again, like I think the recreation of that. The Minister of Social Services indicated recently that they're preparing to table the domestic violence bill. I'd love to see the bill. I'm sure
we've been talking about that for months, man.
No. They've been talking about the several bills, but not that one in particular.
Mm.
I can tell you that. Not that one in particular.
Mm.
There's been the establishment of a crisis center. And in yesterday's paper, there's been some positive moves, but I think women's rights advocates, people doing this gender work and working to eradicate violence against women and girls and children, have been doing this work for decades. And they're frustrated at the pace with which government moves. And they become increasingly frustrated when the government speaks with what appears to be decisiveness. Like they're ready to act,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they take these things seriously. But on the surface and behind the scenes, you can see that they really don't have the political will necessary to achieve the goals that they've set for themselves. And so this particular issue and the lack of clarity about what was happening with the investigation, I think, is what is most frustrating for women's rights advocates. This is a matter that the government has said publicly that it's committed to, but yet in its other speech, it appears as if they are not as committed as they first appeared.
Let's talk about lack of clarity, and I'm going to the phone calls right now. Lack of clarity, right? We heard it rumored that something happened with the MP uh-huh. for a while. You said a week. Mm-hmm. Let's go to social media, break the news. Right, we know that later on we saw on another talk show, right, that the accuser was interviewed and the family was interviewed, right, to give her scenario of what happened. We then waited to say, hey, this seems serious, this seems real, this person actually mm-hmm. exists, right, and then we waited for the police to respond. It was silence for a minute,
mm-hmm.
1 day, 2 day, and say, wait. No one is saying anything, right? I heard the advocate saying, hey, at least say something. It was quiet for a while. We asked for something from the prime minister. We asked something from the chairman of particular parties, right? Because we didn't know which political party for a while. Mm-hmm. We asked something from the police to say that, yes, this is happening, right? 3-4 days passed. Then we got a confirmation from the deputy prime minister that something happened.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, nothing from the police. Then, right after that, after the deputy prime minister, we got a statement from a deputy commissioner that something happened.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got a statement from the prime minister that something happened and that he spoke to the person back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got a statement finally from the commissioner of police that we following the procedures,
mm-hmm.
right? But at that time, by that time, women in the Bahamas was vexed about it. They said, man, no, y'all joking, man. I this is a serious matter.
And I think that's a big part of the frustration, Cecil, is that quickly the allegations had entered the public domain. We expected a commensurate response from the state, right? Like, that's why I asked the question, whose country is it? right? This is the state and the police telling us, wipe your memories and pretend. Pretend like you don't know these things have entered the public domain, right? That's what they're telling. They're telling the whole country to put your whole brain on pause, suspend your conscious thinking, and pretend like this didn't enter the public domain. You may be able to do that in small, like, right? It's like obey, it's like magic. You may be able to trick a small handful of people, have them all looking at one illusion at one time. But how long do you expect us to suspend our memory? What's also frustrating is the continued suggestion that people are being irresponsible, right? When all of the stakeholders in the conversation, including, are very measured in our engagement of the issue. We've waited for the media to report. We have spoken only to what the media, the Guardian, the Tribune, Eyewitness News, have put in our news, have put into the public domain. We're not running on with rumors, right? Those stakeholders in the conversation have been extremely responsible. Even the FNM have been slightly measured in their speech about it. Not for the sake of not embarrassing our local institutions, although we do respect the offices, but to ensure that we ourselves don't become an obstacle to justice. And what's frustrating is the constant call that it is us who are possibly, it's the public, it's all these people who want to speak that are potentially messing up the case. That's why people are frustrated.
The chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party said, there's no suggestion, that the prime minister has asked all of the Progressive Liberal Party MPs to be quiet.
Yeah,
Don't talk about this.
Let's get to that, because that's an interesting one. I want you to let me do this for a second.
Go do your do.
Because I found two articles from separate media houses, and I think, and they, there's a discrepancy. They don't say the same thing. This is an interesting point. And so I want to talk about what each media house says about it, right?
I'm listening.
Our news on the 22nd of April, headline is PM instructed all MPs to remain silent on MP allegations.
Mm-hmm.
That's our news, 22nd of April, from their website. This is what it read. PLP Chairman and Foreign Affairs Minister Fred Mitchell breaking his silence on allegations made against the sitting PLP MP. In a voice note early Friday morning, Mitchell said party leader and Prime Minister Philip Davis advised all MPs to be silent on the matter. But this is extremely important. That's the Our News
version.
Okay. The Nassau Tribune makes an entirely different statement, and it made me question whether they are talking about the same email notice. I mean, it was extremely troubling. Give me a second to find it. But the Tribune article says that Mitchell's voice note made no reference to the allegations made by, I think that's an important distinction to make. But, right, I don't think that the discrepancy is so problematic that we can't talk about it. But what needs to be questioned is, why is there a discrepancy? Were there two separate voice notes? Our News is speaking to one, and the Tribune is speaking to the other, right? There it is. The article is Measured Responses on MP Rape Allegations in the Nassau Tribune, dated the 20th of April, 2023. Now, that's a two-three-day difference, right? So it could possibly be two separate email messages. The Tribune notes in its article in a voice note yesterday that made no reference to the allegations against the MP, Fox Hill MP Fred Mitchell said, quote, here's some advice for public figures. Hold your head. There's a time to speak. There's a time for silence. That's what the Bible says, Right now, silence is golden. Close quotes, end of the Tribune article.
That's that.
Right? So it's two disparate statements on what I am presuming is the same voice note. I know the frequency with which she publishes them. I don't know if people get two voice notes a day, one voice note a week.
Definitely get one a week.
Right. So that was extremely interesting. What is frustrating to advocates and people on the ground is the lack of clarity between the government's messaging, its campaign promises, its policy intention, and its actual policy, right? And enforcement of policy.
I want to ask you, as a women's advocate, and I see the phone call, I'm going to come to you next. As a woman advocate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that the young, vibrant women who in politics, aggressive women who have in the past have pushed a woman's agenda, saying women could do this and that they are powerful and they need to be at the table. Knowing that at this present time they are muzzled on this topic. Now, mind you, it could have been a scripted response by the entire party, mm-hmm. saying this is the party's position. But instead of being a scripted response that this is what we are saying as a united group, they have the muzzled on them. They ain't talking about it at all. They have no opinion on this at all, right? How do you feel about that?
The question has arisen in multiple areas of the discussion on whether people have been directed not to speak, whether they've been advised formally or informally not to speak, or whether they've been prevented from speaking. What concerns me most is larger than this particular issue, larger than this particular time, is that it appears that the political class continues to not just assume, but demand that they own everything. They own every conversation. They own every voice at the table. And it operates in a way, which I think is problematic, that people who have an obligation in some capacity to speak to these matters outside of the capacity of their membership in a party are frustrated or discouraged, right, from speaking to issues that they should rightfully speak to. Case in point, today's headline with Wayne Monroe on the bottom fold of the Nassau Tribune.
But let me know, introduce you to that. You introduce that. But I want you to introduce that as soon as that, right? Because I promised the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? And you have that the article right there ready, because I want to hear what the Minister of National Security is saying about rapes in general. Go ahead, caller. You there?
I'm going to say good morning, Mr. Dury.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, you know, I have a problem with these issues that keep bothering us over and repeatedly every day, year in and year out. You remember that election when I think Perry Christie and Mother Pratt was running as leader and deputy leader?
No such election, because there's no position as deputy leader. Nobody could run for deputy leader in a general election. I mean, I didn't mean to cut him off. I don't know what happened there, Sparky, but I just making that point, man.
So let's hop. We're about to introduce the Minister of National Security and his recent commentary, and perhaps hold it juxtaposed to his past commentary. But so let's read that part, right, so I can have that.
So in the Tribune today, Monroe says marital rape was, quote, not on agenda, close quotes. National Security Minister Wayne Monroe said criminalizing marital rape should not be a significant priority of the Davis administration because the Progressive Liberal Party did not promise it in its Blueprint for Change manifesto.
I want you to pause there.
Yeah.
I'm going to bait you now.
Hold on, but let me tell you why I referenced that first.
Okay, go ahead. Then I can bait you afterwards.
Right. It seems like people are not speaking when they should be speaking, and my question is, do they think they shouldn't speak? Are they being prevented from speaking? Remember when the Minister of Social Services said for the first 6 months of the year, I'm going to stay out of other people's business, and for the next 6 months of the year, he's going to be forgetting that he's the Minister of Social Services, and his job is to take care of those people who do not have the capacity to mind their own business?
Mm-hmm.
Bang. I wonder why it is the Minister of National Security would say that addressing the criminalization of marital rape is should not be a significant priority. because it wasn't a campaign promise. You are the Minister of National Security. The Commissioner of Police says there's been an increase of rape. We've had a case where the judge rightly indicated, not ruled, she didn't rule, she indicated that divorce is not rape is not grounds for divorce because rape within marriage is not recognized as a crime. And while she could recognize it as an act of cruelty, she could not recognize it as a crime or grounds for divorce, right? I wonder why it is the Minister of National Security does not think or thinks that he does not have an obligation to speak to this.
And I would change that question and say, why see it now at this climate? Right? We have a major nation happening now in the Bahamas. Like you mentioned, the crime report by the Commission of Police said that rape has increased.
Right.
But in the climate where women are concerned and questioning whether people are worried about them.
And it's not even attached to this particular allegation. The conversation about marital rape is ongoing and it stands separate
from that
issue.
But it's the climate to air.
No, but that's the point I'm making. I'm only compounding your point.
Mm-hmm.
That not only the climate that the climate is exacerbated by this allegation case, but was already tinder.
Yes.
Because we've already been engaging the issue of the criminalization of marital rape. I've got about 12 recent articles, right, where his colleagues have addressed it. And I got an article from him a couple of years back where he addressed it as well. And
is that even his portfolio? Why are he making commentary?
It is his portfolio. But that's the point I'm making. Minister of National Security.
I thought Obi Wishkom is the one who propositioned or pushing forward marital rape bill.
No, listen.
No?
Whose bill is this? The marital rape bill may be emanating, right, from the Ministry of Social Services. Department of Gender and Family Affairs sits, but the Minister of National Security concerns himself with crimes against the person. Crime in the Bahamas, generally. Why would he not be concerned about a question of criminalizing an act?
And that goes on to my point of creating a rape culture. But let me speak to this caller here. And then I want to talk about talk shows and in general and the dangers. Or maybe not even dangers. Just talk shows in general. I can set up a case.
The rules and boundaries.
I'm going to set up a scenario and have you respond. I can set up a scenario. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, going once.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I can barely hear you all.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Is this better?
But listen, let me tell you why you all ain't get. And until we be honest with ourselves and with one another, we ain't never get away up with that question, airing them, keep driving up. Because there are rules on the books because of the sanctity of marriage and the covenants and stuff that those people take, the legality of it all. There are rules on the book that deals with abuse in marriage. I don't know why you're so gung-ho on this word rape. As a matter of fact, word rape has been largely missed.
I cut it. You're a good caller. And I say that like I can make...
Yesterday you said you're glad that they called.
No, I am glad that they call. I'm absolutely glad that they call. I mean, I could be honest with you. Dear caller, I'm talking to you right now. I hit that button for me, not for you. I hit the button for me.
Yeah. You hurt your feelings?
No, you didn't hurt my feelings.
So why you hit the button?
You heard what he said? Like maybe we... What did he say?
The agenda. You have an agenda.
No, he didn't say that. He didn't use those words.
He called your name.
But that, he did not say that I had an agenda, Mr. New.
I interpret words differently.
He was saying something like, we taking the word rape too seriously. No. I just put a pause on it.
Uh-huh.
I may have said something inappropriate,
mm-hmm.
and I cut the conversation. That's my responsibility.
You safeguarding yourself.
To me primarily, and to him secondarily,
yeah.
and to you thirdly.
Mm-hmm. No, I just talk safe. But let me ask this question. Recently.
Imagine he said that we taking the word rape too serious. Have you ever been raped, sir?
But you know that y'all watered down in the word rape. It's not being used. Even the national security say perhaps if you want convictions, you got to use a different
Who's
word.
Who's watering down rape?
I'm saying. There is. The word
You're
rape is offensive.
Right.
You can't be accusing
and
the man
of all,
raping things.
And most of all, is offensive to rapists.
Yeah, can you imagine? We were in with the
And somebody is watering down the word rape. I'm glad that you reminded me.
That's what the caller was saying.
That's why I paused it, because I may have said the wrong thing to him, and I don't want to offend him.
Mm.
I mean, I don't necessarily want him to call back right now. He should let me calm down.
Yeah, let's. I agree.
Right? But what I'm saying is somebody has been watering down the word rape, because like magically overnight, we went from statutory rape, right? Which is the indication that it's a statutory crime. There is no defense. You are not allowed to have sexual intercourse with people under the age of 16. That's simple. They can't say yes. Even if yes come out their mouth.
But I was told even a 7-year-old could give consent. Just that we don't acknowledge the consent.
No,
some minister said something like that.
The 7-year-old girl could consent to sex, but the court will not recognize
her
words.
I see how a 7-year-old could consent.
Neither do I. That was just madness.
I wonder who said that. We could call for that person to resign, but that call is the same person.
Yeah, but good morning, caller.
Hello, Aaron Green. I apologize, but let me
apologize too. Good. Okay.
Let me define something for you.
Okay.
The reason why I say. See, because if you take something to court and you got a good person like a Fred Smith, your case can get thrown out, okay? The word rape comes from the Latin word repair, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It also comes from the Roman word raptus, okay? Which means, the definition of that means to steal, to seize, or to carry away. That's the reason why old people used to say, boy, look how they rape and pillage that village, eh? You don't need another person to perform rape. And this is what the jurists are trying to tell you indirectly. The word which you're looking for, that's why we in Monroe say call it something else, is sexual intercourse. Abuse during sexual intercourse is the penetration of another person, of a spouse or another person.
What?
That is what that means. Rape sounds good, but it is a misused word. And everybody who using it obviously don't know the meaning of it and where it comes from.
Well,
Thank you very much, Cole. I appreciate that. Like, I can
feel you on that one, because the rapists don't use the word when he's raping.
He say he's enjoying himself.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
They say she wanted it.
But we need to delve into it, right? Because I think the word itself is less important as the motivation for changing it. But I want you to know that I appreciate the space that you've opened up for discourse. I tell you, that's why, Mr. Newry, every once in a while I lose my head and I call for the whole legal community.
You just want everybody to resign, man.
Like the whole bar association should resign. Because you see what the gentleman called in and put on the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's worthy of interrogation. I ain't hear one person from the Bar Association ever raise that.
Mm.
I just say it.
Let me start this next beeline. Recently, I started earlier.
Yeah.
There was a talk show,
mm-hmm.
right, who had a former parliamentarian,
mm-hmm.
senior man, big man, who interjected himself into the case.
Mm-hmm.
And he, similar to the prime minister, said that he overheard from someplace. They didn't say where. They didn't get the source. Said that people ain't even going through that. Right? Said the person ain't accused, ain't even going to put that through. And of course, you know, the lawyer of the accuser came out right afterwards. Said, we've been watching the word.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, two persons hinted that they're hearing statements. And no one know where they get the statements from. That they're hearing statements in the news of someplace, and mind you, this, it doesn't exist, that the accused is not willing to press charges. And clearly she has a lawyer, let me change the question. On another show that we had, I was asking whose job it is to bring about charges.
Right, it depends on the charge, it depends on the matter. And I think
we talk about this one matter, talk about this one matter.
But I'm telling you, I saw a commentary on the media's suggesting that in virtually all matters, the complainant is required to formally press charges.
Now, let me stop you right there. We can talk about rape in general. A woman is being sexually assaulted. She went to the police and gave a statement saying, hey, John Brown Green, whoever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Molested me in some way. Do they arrest the gentleman because she made a complaint? or do the police do an investigation and depend on the preponderance of the evidence, right?
Yeah.
They say, yes, there's enough evidence. We can
basically, right, before a charge can be laid, the police have to look at the evidence and make a determination, whether they send it to senior officers or they send it to a team in the AG's office, right, to determine whether this case could go forward. There has to be a determination after looking at the evidence gathered. So in a rape case, you may call the accused and you say, look, yeah, this person say so-and-so. And the person get up right away will say, this is ridiculous because I was on another family island. I have my tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I have my receipt from my hotel stay. I got a receipt from where we had lunch, and I paid for lunch for my guests. Credit card receipt. I can prove that I was not in the jurisdiction where the alleged crime takes place.
So I pause again.
Yeah.
We have the accuser accusing somebody of being sexually assaulting them. They're making a complaint. I want to know what happens from there. And see, and you start talking, and I know you're trying to be politically correct. I assume there's an investigation.
Yeah.
And I assume it's the police.
They gather evidence.
It's the police.
Yeah.
Who makes the charge, not the accuser who makes the charge.
Well, the...
That's why I want to know who makes the charge.
Well, in any matter, right, like I was being stalked by telephone, as far as I could tell. I couldn't determine. I had no proof that I was being stalked otherwise. I kept a call log. I take it to the station. I tell them somebody is stalking me. Here's the call log. And I say, I give y'all some time. You know, you're a small station. I come back in a month. And they couldn't even find the call log. And I said to them, can I press charges? Like, what's the holdup? Can they told me, no, they have to go through the evidence and see what's happening.
And then I'll ask you this now, right? As part of the investigation, if I tell you, Aaron Green, as I was, I can make this story up. Say I'm a police officer, me, Cecil Neary, I'm a police officer. And you was driving your car, and I was blocking, so you couldn't get on the main road. And I tell you, you can't pass. And you said, man, I can pass, you know who I am? And you tap me with my car. You, Aaron, you tap me with my car, right?
So I was driving one night to the gym when I used to exercise and get up early in the morning during the road works, right?
Yeah.
And we were coming from by C.R. Walker going on to Blue Hill Road to try get to the thing. But to go north, the road was blocked, right? So we had witnessed Meeting Street from by C.R. Walker North Road, right between Government House and C.R. Walker. And when we turned left, this car just pulled out the corner and block us, a plain closed car.
Uh-huh.
Somebody, it's 4:30 in the morning, you know, somebody demanding we get out the car. So I look at them, I say, y'all got to be crazy. Got to be crazy. And I tell them, if you police, you follow me to Nassau Street Police Station right there. We could all meet there in the middle, you know. They just throw the car. It was a prison officer.
Mm-hmm.
I had to ask them if they're crazy.
Let's go to the job, which is the corner.
I want to just know, and
the delay. Why haven't anyone been asked to come in and give a statement? Just say, man, I wasn't there. No, I know what that woman talking about. And see, it's that delay.
See, now,
all that goes to that delay frustrating people.
We
say, man, just ask him.
We talking.
Let him deny it and we move on.
We talking pedantics right now because the police are like parents. They don't share any information that they're not required to by law with their children. And I realize that all of the people have asked, has them the person been brought in for questioning?
Say soon. The commissioner of police
No,
say
they
soon.
Could have called them and talked to them on the phone.
Yeah.
And they just ain't telling us that.
Where were you on December 12th?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And they could be following up on information given to them. I don't know. We just don't know.
But we know he ain't get asked no questions so far. If you heard it from two sources, the commissioner of police and the prime minister.
Listen, that's why I don't want the prime minister speaking, man, because then we can't talk about nothing
the
he's talking about.
Speak. Let's go to the callers. Go ahead, caller. Caller, fashion culture. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Go ahead.
Aaron.
Good morning.
Aaron. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I must interject on a point that you made. There's no way a police officer or any officer should be calling anybody to question them about somebody raping them or whatever, commit a crime. You got to go pick that person up and go look that person in the eye and question that person.
I got you.
That don't mean that you can bring them to the station. But you got to go where their place of work or where their place of living and get information. You can't call them and say, guess what? Did somebody accuse you of this? It's never been done in history that I know about.
I got you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, buddy.
Absolutely. I appreciate bringing clarity, man.
Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Caller, go ahead, caller.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah. One thing I want, what I've been realizing for decades in the Bahamas, and I think it needs to slow down, is once a woman accuses a man of something, usually he is guilty until proven innocent, and in the court of public opinion, he's normally tried. And that needs to cease. Because usually, we all know once a woman says something, a rape or something to that effect, his name could be ruined for months in the court of public opinion. So it has to be law. It has to be a law for the accuser and the accused, in my opinion. It can't be.
Well, of course, you know, there is a law.
There are laws for the.
No, but I'm saying we all know. I mean, you know.
Don't, those laws exist right now.
No, but I'm saying, okay, yeah, the laws exist, but we all. We can play like we don't know, but usually, once a woman or someone says two things that could sully your name, and you could be innocent, if someone accused you of molesting a child or rape, those two things could, even though you could be proven innocent a few months later, your name is ruined, because most times you don't hear the recaption or most newspapers or the media, because it's died out now, you don't hear that you're innocent, but most people, when you hear that, this person was accused. And I'm saying, just for men, because usually the accuser, nothing really happens to the accuser, but usually the accuser as men, there got to be some kind of protection for men when it comes to being accused by women. That's the only thing I have.
Okay, let me respond to that. At this present time, and you know, Aaron, there has been no media house who has called his name.
Yeah.
Right? And the commission of police also said, yeah, everybody knows the person's name. Just that he ain't gonna call it either.
Mm-hmm.
Since the media ain't call it, even the prime minister ain't call it, the chairman of political parties ain't call it, nobody of substance has called.
None of the stakeholders or people with a statutory or an ethical duty have called the name.
Yes, because we know better.
Yeah.
We know better.
Absolutely.
We know better. And hopefully no talk show hosts around the Bahamas.
They also have an ethical duty.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But you wanted to respond to the gentleman too before I go to the callers.
Yeah, I wanted to say to the caller, I mean, we appreciate the concern. Nobody, I watch Bad Girls Club. I appreciate where the concern comes from. These laws already exist. These laws exist outside of the realm of crimes related to sexual violence. There are procedures and laws, provisions in law, that you, the accused, can use to seek justice, recourse, protection, if you have been a part of a malicious prosecution. If it is shown that somebody has lied on you in an attempt to disparage your name. We don't care about that when it comes to the young, destroy them who get accused of things with no real merit or found to not be connected at all. We don't really care about that when we have these flyers about the little fast girls.
Our police officers put their face and say, most wanted, and then don't charge them at all.
Right? And so I am saying right now, these mechanisms we need to create an environment in which we can achieve justice. Men, stand up and create a defense fund to ensure that whenever a man is falsely accused, and that's proven, that you can stand in his defense and publish his good name again.
Yeah. Let's go take this break. This is being Guardian Radio, the AM with C.A. Nuri. We're going to take a short break. I'm interviewing Aaron Green. We're talking about justice. We're talking about the rape culture in the Bahamas. We're talking about serious crimes against women. We will be right back.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I didn't mean nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting sitting in nobody business, then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora?
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
After a brief layoff, Fish Fry Fridays is back in the big carnival month. The Big Band Passage will get you in the mood for the big carnival road march in the streets of Nassau. That's right, it's the pre-carnival edition of Fish Fry Fridays, May 5th at Margaritaville, downtown Nassau. Featuring Visage, DJ AI, and special guest models from the Euphoria Madness Masquerade Band, modeling their costumes that will be on the road for carnival. Fish Fry Fridays is back, May 5th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. $25 general admission, $55 buffet and party. Don't miss Fish Fry Friday, back with the pre-carnival edition.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and we're talking serious matters that tie Bahamas, serious matters that impact women in general. I think that we are breeding a rape culture, a culture where women aren't really safe, but that's just me, right? And this is why I continue to prod and I continue to allow Aaron to make sure that this conversation is had and macinated in the on the talk show. But before the break, the last caller mentioned that men are concerned about their reputation being diminished, and there must be a process to make sure that men are kept safe, that men are vulnerable, especially when it comes to women, because women can accuse you. And this is why we haven't, I mentioned this to Ed Fields yesterday, right? Said that men, Bahamian men, are concerned and fearful regarding their women folk accusing them and messing up their names. And on the break, you mentioned that there is a men's desk at the
Department of Gender and Family Affairs within the Ministry of Social Services and Urban Development.
And I say, if men feel so aggrieved, are they so concerned that their reputations are being attacked? Are they feeling hurt that women are under attack of them? Join their efforts. So when you believe that a man reputation is being diminished, you use that mechanism to say, hey, we are going on the defense to make sure that that particular woman is held accountable, because there's a mechanism
in
place.
Or better, not just that, that the victim achieves justice, right?
Yes.
And that's what the focus should be on. The focus should not be on vengeance. I got to get them back.
No.
I got to do them what they did me, right? I got to settle this. The focus is on justice. What does justice look like for the victim?
So that's for last caller.
And that's a part of how we create the boundaries for safe conversation, right? That we understand that we are focused on achieving justice for the victim, which is not necessarily retribution for the accused, right?
So let's go to these callers. Let's make these calls quick to get all of them engaged. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller girl once.
Yeah, I'm CA. Listen,
yes, ma'am.
You know what the travesty is in this last case with this female?
Mm-hmm.
I am all for what Aaron and all them advocate groups talking about. You know, abuse, especially abuse of women, should not be tolerated. Zero tolerance. That lady made a report roughly 2 weeks ago of battery.
All right. Sorry about that. Let us err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no problem there. Go to the next
caller. Caller?
Go ahead, caller.
Aaron and CA.
Good morning. How are you?
Just two quick points. Write them down, please.
What I can write them down for?
Has anybody given us statistics on the occurrences of spousal rape in this country? Is it...
Man, listen,
never mind. Second point, if a woman accuses a man of something, he should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. having been found out that she may have lied on him, I think the same sentence that he would have incurred should be put on her.
There's laws in the books, Graham. There's laws in the books.
Right.
Yes, there's laws in the books. Who's that on the next quarter before?
I mean, I know you wanted to just glide over the first thing that he said.
You're going to go back to that?
No, I'm just going to say, because sometimes people don't get it. There's no official mechanism to document instances of spousal rape because spousal rape is not recognized as a crime.
So it can't be no recording because it's not a crime.
Right, there you go.
Okay, so we know that now. So anyone who else called about that?
We have covered that.
They covered that. Let's go to this last caller here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Good. I almost...
No more chick chiny chasing.
Good, because I was almost hopping mad this morning. How you do?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Yes. What I wanted to say, I might be wrong, but wasn't there an F&M person that was recently accused of something of the sort?
Well,
something close?
I think there was a matter in the last administration. But that
recently came to light, and the name of the person was called.
No, it didn't make it. Okay, if you hang up, I'll try to give a summary. The best I can. That's good? Go on. Okay. Family Islander MP was accused by his wife of some kind of abuse. It found out at the end that he was not even on the island.
Right. Wasn't that in the last administration?
That's the last administration.
Yeah.
And then found that, hey, he wasn't even there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was finished with because it found that he was not... even on the island on the date.
CH, right? No, there's no name. That's a CH.
Yeah, a family island person.
Yeah, but those are not initials for a name.
I understand.
Yeah, that's initials for a community.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's go back to this call before we run out of time. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
You know, when you continue to shut people down when they ask for legitimate...
You going?
Yeah, I think he was good for asking legitimate questions. I think you'll note that the first caller that I hit the button on, he called back. He understood why I hit the button. I apologize. He apologized. I tell him he didn't have to apologize because I doing the apologizing. That's all, caller.
Yeah.
That's all.
And some things we are not prepared to discuss on the open airways because of...
I spent 5 minutes at the end of the last show explaining that, right?
Yeah.
That because of the nature of the conversation that we're having and the environment in which we're having it in, that we have to tighten the controls and the scope of the conversation. We as the hosts have to take on the responsibility of managing the conversation. And some people are going to get upset, and some people may have good points that we are unable to flesh out because of the risk that what they're saying may be misperceived or taken intentionally and misconstrued for another agenda. That's what it is.
And I want to say that this issue, this particular thing that is happening now, this is machinating to the court and the court of public opinion at this present time. It's a serious matter.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts two lives and of course, extension of families, right?
Yeah.
And we don't know what happened, but we want to give it a fair chance that when it's hashed out, justice prevails.
Right. And right? I came today with a point that was soundly thought out and documented, right? But advised to err on the side of caution. Don't concern yourself with whether you are right, but concern yourself about whether you're doing the right thing, right? And whether what you have to say is beneficial to the whole. Just being right in and of itself is not enough to join the public platform. You have to ensure that you will not become an obstacle or a barrier to justice for others.
But and now I want to summarize. I'm going to summarize one or two things I had concern with.
Yeah.
I am concerned. I see if a caller here. I don't know if that's going to summarize, but I want everyone to have a chance to talk, though. So pass the caller through there, producer. Let me give them 30 seconds, and I'll do my summary. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, yes, Mr. Neary. It's me. I'm calling back.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate your summary. However, I feel like the police are saying that they're so double standard, but it is. Because if I today report Mr. Nuri for such a thing, right, Mr. Nuri will be picked up before the end of the day for questioning. Mr. Nuri won't have a month or close to a month to sit and stir and make up some story and do some whatever else. He will be picked up immediately, no matter where he is or if he's off the island. They will wait to the airport for him. So it is a double standard. Somebody needs to speak out against it, because giving them the chance to do their investigation is one thing. But please, be fair with it. The same way you treat Paul, treat John. All of us as equals. You can't give one a shining glove and then give the other paper towel to wear. That's wrong. If you pick John up for it, pick the next man up for it. Question him immediately, like you do everybody else.
I understand, and I appreciate your call, and I understand your concern. And that continues to be a concern, particularly amongst women, in terms of they wanted an immediate response to know that justice is happening.
Yeah.
And the delay by the Deputy Commissioner of Police, then the Commissioner of Police, to say that this is the steps that we are taking, allowed people to imagine, allowed people to question whether the police force is competent or not. And that's unfortunate. And I'm not sure if our Commissioner of Police is appreciating that. If they came earlier and said that, we heard that there's a case, we are investigating the matter. However, there's a number of things that we will follow through, which may seem to be a delay to you. However, we know what we're doing. If he had said that 3-4 days ago,
BK right? Bonamy has spoken. Yeah, like I'm what it is he has said in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did exactly what you did. What you said should have been done,
uh-huh.
Right? I'm not.
That's days afterwards when social media is going crazy and creating stories. This was okay. This was right. What's part of the summary?
Immediately, right? Immediately,
and this is after Politico's came on talk shows and given testimony of evidence that is happening, where people asking, where you get that from? This is after our leader of the nation come and say he heard from somebody who we don't know who he are from, that they're interested. And they said, but where are you getting this from? This hasn't been tabled anywhere.
Man,
this wasn't in the media. Who did you get that information from? And this is where I assume the lawyer of the accuser is saying that we're watching these conversations, these new details coming from these people of influence, and we are concerned, and we'll be following up on that.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it's a good thing that me and you are of no real influence, but you know who is a man of real influence, Mr. Nuri?
See?
You know who's a man of real influence? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not dissing the IDM because you're a powerful man.
Mm-hmm.
It is sad news that Harry Belafonte has passed away.
Really?
Yeah, I just saw that pop up. He dies at 96.
And you know the closeness of Harry Belafonte with our own national hero,
Sidney Poitier. I don't think we understand.
The connectivity.
Right, that Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier would have raised money with their peers, from Bahamians, from regular oil. They raised money to go down to the American South and help the freedom fighters, to free people who had been jailed because they were fighting for African Americans, people of African descent, to have rights in the United States of America. Harry Belafonte, along with our own Sir Sidney Poitier, was a true and real freedom fighter.
I will go as far to say, as few people realize, who don't follow Bahamian history, that is,
yeah,
that Harry Belafonte came to the Bahamas as part of our civil rights movement,
uh-huh,
with Sidney Poitier, and campaigned.
Yeah.
Campaigned for majority rule in 1967 on behalf of disenfranchised Bahamian. So he is also a part of our history.
Mm-hmm.
And he has impact on our immediate history.
Yeah, I want to say, you want to be a real change agent, freedom fighter, political leader, you got examples right in front of you. They worked tirelessly and they demanded no salute or celebration.
Anyway, this has been Guy and Rain with AM with CNRE. You have a wonderful day. Mr. Taliban.